Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f- So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I do what I want. I do what I want. I'm Luke Ebel. I do what I want.
You eat what you want.
Horses for courses. It's the Football Ramble. It's good to have you back, ladies and gentlemen. My name's Marcus, and the three people that are with me are Jim.
Hello.
Pete.
How appropriate, you felt like a cow.
And Luke.
All right.
Indeed I am. Now then, we've had FA Cup weekend. What a weekend it was. Is the magic of the Cup there? Well, if it wasn't, how would you bring the magic of the FA Cup back?
Let's face it, the magic isn't.
It was never magic. This is the myth, isn't it?
But if
it?
You could make the cup magic, Jimbo, how would you do it?
Firstly, a point on the magic of the FA Cup.
Yes.
They should call it the nostalgia of the FA Cup.
Okay.
Because these people are missing their childhood memories that have already happened and therefore can never come back.
And magic doesn't exist.
Indeed.
The unlikely results of the FA Cup as well. It could also be interpreted as.
Yes, but the way I would bring back the magic, right, is, you know, generally teams play weekend squads quite a lot now.
Yes.
And I think we all loved Paul Scholes just suddenly being back at the weekend. Yeah. Also Owen Hargreaves popping up as well, and all the sort of strange little things that happened. David Beckham in the stadium, Roy Keane in there, as all those weird things happening.
I love
your hand up, Luke.
I love that Owen Hargreaves actually playing football. It's like a strange thing to happen.
Yeah,
he's a footballer,
all the others, you know, have retired or still retired.
Owen Hargreaves playing strange things like that. Like,
so what I would do, because a lot of managers, they feel clearly they could do without the fixtures. So I would sort of have the option of like legends teams, but in the FA Cup. Kind of enforced for everyone. You can have someone from any point in your history and just play it like that and probably speed up the TV footage so it looks a bit faster.
But would you have to pay them, or would you have first dibs on different players due to like how many times they've played for the club?
Yeah, that's how it'd work.
Like the Spurs
versus Newcastle Gaza thing.
Yeah.
How would that...
It'd have to go on appearances.
Right.
Okay.
I suppose... Don't want Gaza.
That's an excellent idea, Jimbo. Pete, can you top it and thus win the points?
I've got four.
The magic of the points.
How to get the magic of the FA Cup back. I'd stop playing Ronnie... Flipping Radford's goal every bloody time it's on the telly and the highlights package. B, I'd not have it at 5:15 on a weekend where there's Premier League fixtures like what's happening this year. Disgusting.
Ridiculous.
I'd give the winners of the FA Cup a replica of the Cup Winners' Cup at the same time.
Yeah. Now I'm listening.
Yeah, you got his attention.
And D, a 3-hour televised build-up for every single televised match, no matter what round.
They already do that, don't they?
Yeah. Well, I imagine that would contain an awful lot of condescension towards lower teams.
Yeah, like, exactly,
It's a great day out for them.
Because let's be fair, there's enough of that now.
Yeah, well, exactly. It's like, they're having a lovely day. The top of the Championship.
Yeah. Exactly.
They play football all the time.
Yeah, he used to play for Newcastle, didn't he?
Yeah.
There was a lovely lingering shot at the Birmingham match when, I can't remember who went off, but he threw his shirt at a kid in the crowd. And his dad, pulled off the biggest grin I've ever seen in my life.
Taylor?
No, it wasn't. No, it was, I can't bloody remember now.
Was the kid not really that bothered?
He went off injured. The kid wasn't arsed in the slightest.
Really? Yeah.
In fact, he was a little bit bemused. I think
someone's throwing something at him.
Yeah, throwing cloves at him.
But
it's not appropriate. If someone does that in the street, dad's not going to react like that, surely.
Not at his age.
But his dad was a lovely, he gave a lovely brummy faced smile. I don't know what that is or how it
entails. Oh, it was Liam Ridgewell, wasn't it?
It was Ridgewell, it was, yes, when he went off injured.
Luke, what have you got?
I sort of feel like it's pointless now because Pete's sort of already invoked the Cup Winners' Cup clause.
Yeah. Mm.
Well, go on.
Oh, so you were just going to change the trophy?
No, I was going to go for if it's 0-0, both teams go out.
Right.
That's pretty good, yeah, later.
Keepers aren't allowed out of the box. in a David O'Leary style show.
Oh, but what? But then you wouldn't have like the city keeper forget how to pronounce his name.
Yeah, they're not allowed outside of the box unless they're a goal down, like an injury.
Right, time. Okay, yeah. Or in which case they have to be right for
yeah,
corners.
It's getting complicated
surely.
Now.
Or just like a leap
which
out
box
of,
door? In yard.
If it's 0-0 at the end of the game, both teams go out. But in injury time, if it's 0-0, the goalkeepers have to swap teams.
Yeah. Or they both have to stand. They can both can only go in the centre circle. Can still use around.
No, how about
they've just got to stay there and they can fight.
That'd be amazing.
How about, and this is maybe because I've been talking to a friend of the Ramble, Roy Meredith, too long, but if it's 0-0, extra time, no offside.
Ooh,
yeah,
give
that'd
it
be
go.
Good.
Give it a go.
Yeah,
basically mess with the rules. That's the way to bring the okay. different every game. Yeah. You get told on the day by the ref as you kick off.
You pull it out of a hat and this is like a different rule.
Better than the silver goal, or whatever the hell that was.
Yeah.
I think so. I just had down Paul Daniels and Pellantella to do the draw.
Yeah, works.
Taking it very literally.
Yeah.
Your own question.
Jimbo's got the points.
Oh, well done, Jimbo.
Yeah. I do like the legends. We like a bit of nostalgia. Or as, which comedian was it? Peter De Vries maybe said, nostalgia's not what it used to be.
Yeah. I think the real genuine way to bring back the magic of the FA Cup is combine all of those things. I think that's something we can all agree on.
Definitely.
I think they should not allow Manchester United to not be in it 10 years ago.
You could say the magic of the FA Cup has been brought back after Chris Foy did his own card trick at the weekend.
I don't get it.
No. Okay, let's Moving go on. There then.
That deserved better. That deserved more.
Let's
you.
Go to the cup itself. Before we talk about the Manchester derby, let's talk about Swindon 2, Wigan 1. Paolo Di Canio said it was the best moment of his life.
Which might say more about his life than his
perhaps he meant footballing life, but
no. I'm
well,
certain he
actually,
meant life.
Yeah, that is
he means
true.
What he says. This man,
the League Two side beating the Premier League side. It was a fortunate winner, but it was a winner nonetheless.
What was your worst
thing?
Lucky
like, twice.
Il Duce getting hung. Unbelievable.
The best part of that game was when Wigan's first goal, which was a penalty, hit the post.
Yes.
And all the Swindon fans were like,
and then he
scored the full up, and they literally audibly went. Oh,
yeah! It was glorious. Yeah, Callum McManaman had a good game for Wigan.
He's always described as a distant relative. It's like all the women of Virginia in the US are always sort of. I'm descended from Pocahontas. You're not. Distant relative. I'd love to know how he's related, because he's always described.
I'd like to think he's the result of a romantic tryst that El Macker had in Madrid.
Yeah,
is that right? Yeah. He's ended up in Wigan.
Looking at his face, I don't think he's in Wigan.
or his
I
hair.
Think it's probably a bit more of a distant relative than his son as well, if that is the case. That's quite a close relative.
Yeah, that's true.
Talk about the game?
Yeah, all right.
It's an excellent win. Di Canio at the end of the game.
Oh, he lost it.
Oh, my goodness.
Didn't he want to make statues? He wanted the team to have statues.
He was giving it the big one, wasn't he? He was saying, we should remember this. He said, I don't care if we've not won anything. This is absolutely massive time.
Did he go up the steps? Like, wait for the trophy? He stood there for ages.
Goodness.
Where is the trophy?
Yeah. An incredible win for Swindon there. They march on. So did Manchester United. They beat City 3-2 at the Etihad Stadium. Arena? Stadium?
Stadium.
Something I thought it was called the Arena. Silly me.
Probably got one of those as well.
Yeah, I was going to say. Company sent off. Should it have been a sending off, Jimbo?
Well, it's a really complicated one. I think it was harsh. You know what I mean? It's not as clear cut as a lot of people are saying. I mean, obviously, you did go in two-footed. You can't do that. But it's down to the referee to interpret it, isn't it? And he did get the ball. And he didn't use excessive force. So I can see why people would argue that he would get sent off. But I think the referee had the option of not sending him off. And I think he should have taken that.
Personally. I would argue that if Nani didn't jump, I think it would be a very different story, because there might have been a leg break or something, because he went in like an absolute lunatic.
It's a funny one. Pete's right, because Jim, if you think about it, if he connected with Nani, and it's only Nani's sort of quick thinking that got him out of that situation, if he connected with Nani, then automatically you're saying, well, that's a straight red, because he's made connection.
But I don't know, did he... It looked pretty innocuous, even in that situation. I don't think it even would have hurt Nani that much if he'd gone in there.
I can't remember which match I was watching. Kabai went in a similar fashion, connected, really probably hurt the player.
Yep.
And that was a straight red for me. This is exactly the same situation for me. Just because Nani got out of the way is neither here nor there.
I don't know why Rooney made that decision. Yeah, exactly. Thinking about it. That's ridiculous, that is, isn't it?
Well, it shouldn't affect the referee. I mean, the referee should have booked Rooney for that.
Rooney learned how to do that when Cristiano Ronaldo got him sent off into the 2006 World Cup.
After he just learned into stamping on exactly. Ricardo Carvalho's nuts.
But yeah. Mancini did that a couple of weeks ago, though, didn't he? Yeah. He
got he's just trying
it. There's a really nice point made on the 606, actually, yesterday, which was Alan Green. Alan Green was saying that, well, you just need consistency from referees. And common sense in the penalty area. But anyway, no, he said
and another drink.
No, it's a serious point. He was saying we need consistency and common sense, and someone rang in and said, well, actually referees are human beings, so you're asking for two different things that can't coexist. You either want consistency, i.e. they do the same thing all the time, or you want the referee to interpret it and use common sense. It's one of those things. Chris Ford is a bit of a checkered season already so far, so you can understand the
he did win that gold medal
under.
Though
well, he did, absolutely. Knight of the Realm. Yeah. But anyway, but people also pointed to Frank Lampard's challenge a week or two ago, which was a lot worse than Company's.
It was a lot higher.
Perhaps the referee didn't see Lampard's, maybe. There must be a reason, because if the referee's seen Lampard's, surely that's a sending off. But
Racists and referees have had a stinking season on him, really.
Depends how you view racists. They might have had a good season.
Okay.
Well, they're standards. Well, they're standards. They've broken through this season.
Well, I thought that with regards to the Company sending off, this is what I was saying on Twitter, and I think people quite understood the point I was making, is why is a top-class defender for one of the biggest clubs in Europe now going in two-footed?
He's an excellent player as well.
Why is he doing that?
In that area of the pitch.
I think that's crazy behaviour.
But his response to that would be, he moved pretty quickly, he saw the ball was there to be won, and he won it.
He didn't do that two-footed, though.
Yeah, exactly. Stay on your feet, then. Or don't go in two-foot. Do
stay
something.
On one foot.
Yeah,
or need track to go
back,
in two-foot.
Drop off a bit. You know, if you go in two-footed, there is a huge chance you could get sent off.
It's the old adage that you're given to referee a decision to make.
Exactly. Well, we said that the other week about a player bringing someone down in the box, you know. But Company should know better. And if I was Mancini, I'd be going off my head. But it probably was a booking. I would say that. Because I'm not sure. I think the referee can interpret it. And I don't think it was a sending off.
I think Mancini coming out and saying we're going to appeal instantly, I think is slightly protecting his player. Because he's made a silly decision for my money. And you know, I think he's doing his player a bit of a service.
But you'd expect that, wouldn't you? You'd expect him to do
that. Yeah, I think so.
I don't like to sort of pressure referees and have a go at them, because everyone seems to do that these days. And it's not an easy job. Everyone who talks about it, pretty much, has never done it. So it's a bit fatuous, really. But he had a poor game. I mean, he should have booked Giggs. He should have given one or two other penalties. He should have booked Jones as well.
Didn't book
penalty
skulls.
On Valencia as well.
No,
certain penalties.
Absolutely. But he didn't give that because he'd already given one.
Yeah. You wonder about that, though, but that shouldn't... terrible refereeing.
I know, I agree with you. But I genuinely think that is the case.
That said, though, made the game a hell of a lot better for me.
I was about to say, and if it wouldn't have been for that, maybe Skulls wouldn't have come on at the end.
Exactly. It was brilliant. I thought
Paul Scholes out of retirement, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, that came out of nowhere.
Seemingly that morning.
Yes. Yeah. Well, he had been playing a little part in training, but a lot of the players thought he was just there to make up the numbers, because there was a few youth team players as well. But obviously not.
Yeah. He did look a bit rusty. And he gave the ball away for the.
Didn't he have like 97% pass completion?
Yeah, I thought that goal was Everett's fault, actually.
Yeah,
Everett threw the ball into him, just stood there. He should be on his toes, ready to get the ball.
Yeah, back. I didn't think it was solely Scholes' fault.
It's a poor pass, but I mean, Everett could have dealt with that. Everett's got real concentration issues, in my opinion.
Scholes is doing some sort of brilliant, sort of lofted passes, which, to be honest, I think were a little bit dangerous at times, because he was. I think he was forgetting how quick Man City are on the break. Certainly,
is it not a worrying sign for United, though, for bringing him back? Because the transfer window's open. Don't forget.
I think it's necessary for that match. I think, you know, I think it was the right decision for him.
Traditionally, Ferguson's always brought young players through whenever he's felt like it. So maybe he just feels like his young midfielders
aren't
up to it.
You've got Paul Pogba, and is it Ravel Morrison as well? Yeah. Are the two obvious candidates there? And maybe they're just not ready for it.
But well, look at their last match. Look at the decision for the NAF goal they conceded against Newcastle. The header, that was just a weird decision from a youngster.
That's true. Yeah.
He did want Scholes to stay on another season, and it was Scholes who approached Ferguson. Apparently,
that's what he says, though. That's what he says.
Well, but let's take it as that then. Then Scholes has come back and said, I still fancy, you know, he's been there in training. Whether that's because maybe they had an iron and they wanted to keep it quiet, I don't know. But
well, he's training the coach in the reserve, helping to coach the reserves, isn't he? So he's around the club anyway.
For me, though, it was good to see Zabaleta and Kolarov doing the sort of wing back sort of role.
Yeah.
And I thought that Mancini could have made that change a lot quicker and gone three at the back. before half time, because I think he made all the changes at half time, didn't he? And then they started to play like and properly go on proper runs. And
but
stuff.
United did take their foot off the gas and get a little bit scared.
Yeah,
it looked at points as if they could go on and like avenge the 6-1, but as you say, they did take their foot off the gas and they just sort of.
I think Ferguson was annoyed with that.
Yeah, they almost just seemed like they were closing it out from the beginning of the second half onwards.
Which is also, by the way, talking about all this around, and it's impossible to know whether Scholes is a good move or not, because people seem to be judging it, but we'll wait to the end of the season.
Time will tell, yeah.
But we should definitely talk about Rooney's goal, which is excellent, his first goal. And Danny Welbeck's goal was superb as well.
Yeah,
the Young bottled that, didn't he?
He did, properly, yeah.
Rooney's header was glorious. He just... It was
didn't
one
break
of those
his stride, right?
Yeah,
anything.
Didn't break his stride, and he just put his head up there, and I think he spun round, kind of, didn't he?
It's the extra cushioning he's getting from his hair plugs.
Yeah.
It could be.
And they are plugs.
Yeah. Indeed, they are. But what a game it was.
Sending off ruined the game. Did you read the papers? The sending off ruined the game.
Yeah, and we got another big one in the next round.
I think, absolutely. Manchester United and Liverpool. It's great, and it's also good for the Cup that another big team will be going out there.
The United Liverpool game in the next round, it's just a bit of a shame it's not a subplot. Yeah, I think I'd really add to it.
I just wanted to be tasteful. Tis all.
Yeah.
I just want the people in the stands to just, you know.
It's come to the point where we just want a football game just to be all right.
Yeah.
Just above
they're,
us.
They're having like crisis talks. The two clubs, aren't they? Beforehand, apparently. Obviously, crisis talks is ridiculous sort of media hyperbole. But come on. Just come on.
Come on, everybody.
Don't support racism.
No.
Bottom line. Quite simple.
Well, yeah.
As a club. Just make it clear that is not acceptable.
As a human being.
To be fair, you know, Liverpool did apologise to Oldham defender Tom Adeyemi, and I think the police have acted, haven't they?
They have.
Quite swiftly.
It's also, you know, got to be said, you can't judge every Liverpool fan.
No, exactly.
But I would argue that the exploits of Liverpool Football Club in the last couple of months has, I don't know, not encouraged, but
implicitly
condoned that sort of environment, this sort of siege mentality.
It has certainly fostered that kind of... atmosphere,
everyone against us, and to stupid people, you know, it will come out in racist ways. Yeah.
I think the T-shirts thing was just so naive and just foolish.
I thought Gordon Strachan sort of summed it up nicely. He said, you know, a moron is a moron. Yeah. He goes home, he's still a moron. It's not the football club's fault. It's not football's fault. That's just the fault of that individual.
No, but I would argue that, you know, they've not covered themselves in glory the last couple of months. And to be honest, they've still not apologised to Patrice Evra.
Yeah. Suarez said, I'm sorry if you were offended by it. As in, it's your fault.
Sorry you find my talking so nutty, but I'm just outspoken. Oh, go fuck yourself.
The apology is basically, I'm sorry you're such a dick, isn't it? Which is not in any way an apology. And as I say, with the T-shirts thing, I just think it's ignoring the problem, isn't it? And it's taking no responsibility as a club for what is the most serious issue in football at the moment. And I just really think they need to rethink it.
Absolutely. Some issues are bigger than football. And this is a great... If they were going to be wearing any T-shirt, they should have been wearing a kick it out T-shirt. You know, it's just a bizarre situation. I don't understand.
I kind of understand Dale Cleese wanting to protect his player and the club as well, but I just think it's backfired massively. I just don't think it's good for anyone concerned.
Well, back to the football. Liverpool did beat Oldham 5-1. Great goal from Oldham's Robbie Simpson to get it underway.
Goal of the game.
It was,
and he had some great goals in that game.
John Joe Shelvey
getting
his first. Stuart Downing as well getting his first for the Clown.
Andy Carroll got a nice one.
He did, yeah. Not his first, though. But it felt like it.
Stuart Downing was arrested on suspicion of assault as well, wasn't he?
Yeah, like in the same bar that a lot goes on. Lee Casamole's had a bit of problems.
That's your arm, though, isn't it? I've been there.
Titus Bramble. But that particular place.
I think Stuart Downing might even struggle to assist the police in their inquiries.
But wasn't Downing with like his ex-girlfriend? And it wasn't them that got in a fight. They got in a fight with someone else, according to the report. Very odd.
I think the highlight of this weekend has been that picture of Andy Carroll slumped in a club.
Is that real?
Beer. I think so, yes. Yeah. But it is funny.
It just doesn't sound like
he just can't. But he just can't. It's one of the things that the boy. I genuinely feel sorry for Andy Carroll. I think it's, you know, it's not an ideal situation for him. 35 million is a lot of money.
Yeah.
But anyway, he's taking it badly.
People, if he's going to be drunk in a club, people are going to take pictures. Take some booze home.
Yeah.
Well, let's get back to proper professionals with Landon Donovan. Yes. And Everton, they beat Tamworth, the non-league side.
Stop dragging us back on the pitch, Marcus.
And Landon Donovan's corner set up the opening goal. Good to see him back at Everton.
He
nearly scored a cracker.
Yeah.
So yeah, good to see that. What else have we got here? Fleetwood Town, they got beaten 5-1 by Blackpool. Matt Phillips getting a hat-trick on the score sheet again.
Electric. Yeah, he looked great last season, like, towards the end of it when he made his debut for Blackpool in the Premier League, and he's just flourishing in the Championship, isn't he? Just looks just electrifying.
I thought Thomas Ince, of course, son of Paul, scored one of the goals of the weekend, actually.
It's a great goal. At the end of the day, that goal was the best goal for Thomas Ince.
Is that right?
It's the best thing with Thomas Ince.
That referee can walk off the pitch and tell his kids. I'm confused now.
Paul Ince's son scored a goal. Yeah. That would be.
Phillips' hat-trick goal was absolute class. Yeah. I know, Tamato is sort of non-league side, but still.
Fleetwood.
But.
Yeah. Bolton struggled away at Macclesfield. Arno Mendy with an. That was one of the goals of the weekend.
Probably
as well.
The goal of the weekend.
There's been some goals this
that
weekend.
There has been, to be fair.
The magic of the FA Cup.
Yeah.
Isn't it? The good goals of the FA Cup. Yeah. Let's not lose
the
correct terminology.
Coventry City's retro top as well.
For the commemorative kit.
I mean, I thought putting Keith Houchin up front was a bit much. I can see why they lost that match.
Yeah. Going back to Bolton, I was just going to say that Owen Coyle said after the game, you know, we don't deal in negativity and we'll look forward to the replay. Very, very positive. But do you think perhaps at Bolton that we all like Owen Coyle, very nice bloke, it would appear. But do you think maybe he's too positive? Sometimes he might have to hammer them.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. I mean, you wonder if he's doing that sort of behind closed doors, though. I think he's got to say one thing for the fans and maybe another to the players, you know, because he can't be going in there going, come on, lads, this is great, you know, we've got a replay now. There's absolutely no way he's treating that as a positive.
For me, he's been a great servant at that club. I think he's running on fumes.
Yeah.
I can't see him lasting the season.
Get him
to be
some
honest.
Booze. Well,
the only problem with that, though, Pete, is that he probably would have gone already, but they can't afford to sack him.
No.
That's the thing about Macclesfield is it's probably a tricky tie for them going away there. But Macclesfield are like about 15th in League Two. You know, you can imagine the players
It's a great tie for them.
Oh, absolutely.
A little bit of money,
a bit more
money.
Absolutely.
But there has been a sacking. And it's Neil Warnock.
Yes, it's disappointing, isn't it?
It's definitely not his fault. Neil Warnock's fault, is it?
Okay.
It's a conspiracy that runs to the very top of the Football Association.
Okay. Well, obviously they drew...
Bloody Sean Bean.
They drew away to MK Dons with a last-minute goal from Heider Helgeson.
Heder Helgeson. Even though he scored with his feet.
Yep. But Neil Warnock has been sacked. Mark Hughes is the favourite to take over. Although... Ray Wilkins has thrown his hat into the ring.
My word.
Did you see that?
My word.
He said, it would be an absolute pleasure to go back there.
I would love to see that.
And what a professional that young man is.
Talking of nostalgia. Get him on the pitch, even.
Yeah.
Get him Trevor Sinclair.
The thing about Neil Warnock is that, you know, on one level, he's earned the right to be in the Premier League because he got them promoted and he did a good job. And let's not forget, he did a good job when QPR had gone for a number of different managers beforehand.
Well, they were a laughing stock. There's no two ways about it. They were an absolute joke for a long time. And it looked like they were never going to get stable. And he did that.
And he took a long time to be able to get that money in, to be able to start spending a little bit of money. Remember the start of the transfer window? He was promised a load of money. He didn't get it. And then right at the end, he managed to bring in,
They did quite a few deals on deadline day, didn't they?
Yeah.
But it's not like they're at the foot of the table, languishing.
Well, no.
The flip side of it, though, is they haven't won in about 7 or 8 games. Yeah. And also, that Neil Warnock just sort of strikes me as... Someone said, you think it was yesterday or just around when it happened, is he a sort of manager who just falls a little bit short with ideas and tactics and stuff when it comes to the Premier League? Well, and that may be the case.
Some of the stuff I've read is that he's not a very sort of tactically minded manager at all. He's more of a motivator. And there was a particular example that's been written about quite a lot, which was against Norwich when Clint Hill shouted to him, they're 5-on-4, you've got to change it up. And Warnock didn't react to that, and Norwich went on to win the game because Paul Lambert made the substitution that made the difference. And I mean, they're lambs to the slaughter if you're doing that.
Yeah.
If you're sending them out there and they're
not
dealing with the tactics properly, you've got to change it up, or there's only going to be one outcome.
And also, in team talks and stuff, people don't know when he's angry because he has no eyebrows, so
you can't frown. It does ruin an expression, a lack of eyebrows.
Let's also give a bit of credit at least acknowledge the fact that he's been sacked now because they've got 3.5 weeks or 3 weeks, of the transfer window left. So at least the manager can come
it's
and
sensible. If you're going to do it.
Well, it looks as though that Hughes is lined up, isn't it? It does certainly appear that way, but we'll wait and see. And perhaps Warnock, maybe next England manager. Reading.
Marcus, I'm just going to congratulate you there, actually.
What's
on
that?
Not taking an opportunity to mention Sven.
Well, now you're plugging
it. Yeah, well done.
Well, I just think it needs to... While we're giving credit
out... He's happy in Iran, isn't he?
Well, you know...
Is anyone happy in Iran?
Well, I'm a dinner jad.
I was about to say, there's one man who can find happiness anywhere.
Yeah.
And happiness comes in the form of, well, you know. Now, Reading lost at home to Stevenage 1-0.
Silly, wasn't it?
It was very silly. Reading have been going very well. I've been talking about they're going to start their second half of the season surge. Okay, this isn't in the league, but still, what a win for Stevenage. And
big,
it's surprising.
Graham Wesley.
Well.
Yeah, he's taken a traditionally a non-league club. I think they're about seventh in League One.
Great.
You know, you've got to give him immense. I mean, he's been linked with a Preston job today, but you've got to give him a huge amount
you
of respect for that.
Wesley factor.
Yeah, well, he was of course, Farmer Town manager when we were living down that way.
Do you feel maybe.
Roots.
After Capello leaves, and it's just a little bit too soon.
It's come a bit soon for him.
Yeah.
But he is still a very young man.
He is still
a very young man. He's got a future ahead of him in management. I think he's been managing since his early 30s.
Warnock, then Wesley.
Yes. No, both of them together.
Right.
Two W's.
And Ray Wilkins, the three W's.
W cubed.
The internet.
www.england.co.uk.
Defeat.com.
A little mention to Giovanni Dos Santos. Good to have him back.
Yeah. 4 years he's been at Spurs.
It's ridiculous, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think he's forgotten he existed.
One of my claims.
Some sort of existential crisis.
One of my claims of watching football over the years, I saw him in the flesh play for Barcelona.
Did he?
Wow.
when he was put on the team sheet. Right, everyone in the dressing room, including him, said, "Who's that?" Yeah.
And then cracked up when they remembered.
Yeah. To be fair to him, Defoe nicked his first goal as well.
Yeah, he did.
Nugent-esque it was.
He's just put himself in the shop window there, surely.
Has Jimbo. Oh, that's what
it's weird. Spurs really have got some decent players just rattling around there, like him and Stephen Pienaar. What do they do in the daytime? Imagine they just hang out together being sad.
But yet Harry looks like a bloated corpse dredged out of a river. Redknapp still sees fit to tap up Demba Ba. You know, still wants to get the. That release clause is less than 7 million.
It's what they are saying.
It's what they are saying. Who's there, Harry?
Probably the chairman.
I wonder what your release clause is. Probably a file in a fucking cake. You cunt.
Come on, Pete. Yeah.
I'm really scared about this transfer window. I'm going to be hiding.
Is he touching one of your babies?
He's touching. He's not even that. He's feeding him syrup from his tit.
Yeah, no, it's not on, is it? If that's not publicly tapping up a player, I mean,
what feed? Oh, sorry.
One thing I will say, just in a rare display of offering some balance.
That
on
was Harry emotional, Redknapp. Pete. That really was.
Yeah. It's blatantly that Denver Bar's agent leaked that.
Oh, of course. Yeah, well, yeah, of course. Everyone Redknapp. Would have known that anyway. For crying out loud, it was. You
shouldn't say it though. You shouldn't say it.
No, it's really poor from Redknapp to say that.
Chances of seeing Harry knocking around a stadium in. Equatorial Guinea, come the African combination. Yeah,
Denver over here.
Weirdly though, surely all Redknapp's done by releasing that is just alerted other managers to it.
Yeah,
just started a bidding war for a player he wants.
Like, he can't get enough strikers. He just can't get enough of them.
But anyway, let's talk about Newcastle. They beat Blackburn 2-1. A couple of great goals.
We've scored some excellent goals in the last.
I say a couple of great goals. It was only the one really from Ben Arthur.
No, Gutierrez's goal was great as well.
Dinking it over the keeper.
Oh, of course it was.
And he put
in like the 93rd minute.
For a minute, I just remember Goodwillie's sort of bundled it in, and I thought, oh yeah.
The best thing about that is that
Spider-Man celebration.
Mm. Yeah, exactly.
He said he was going to stop doing that because he was too mature now. Maybe. What's happened?
He must have forgotten.
He just realised that he didn't score that many goals. Oh dear.
Ben Arthur's goal was a sort of magnificent solo effort as well, and he's back in the team, isn't he? It's not that he's been fit for a while, but he's just sort of been playing again recently.
He's not really fitted in all season, to be quite frank. He's had flashes and stuff, and he scored his goal, and I think a few weeks ago, and I thought that was him then. But the problem is, Amiobi played very well against Manchester United with Demba Ba. You'd expect that he'd get more opportunities up front with somebody like Leon Best or Sean Amiobi, but he's always said that he would never play him on the right. Never.
Yeah.
But he played him on the right and he scored that incredible goal. I kind of feel sorry for Obertan and the Newcastle fans. It certainly
Jesus
back they hit. Yeah. They appear to hit the man, which is quite kind of disappointing because he's 22, 23. He's not played a lot of football, certainly not in the Premier League. And, you know, I think he had 4 starts last season for Man United and, you know.
It's a tough one.
I think despite the fact they're very, very different players, obviously, the fact that Demba Ba and Cheick Tiote are off to the African nations and Ben Arfa does appear to be finding a little bit of form is a good thing for Newcastle, because it gives them a different option and it means they've still got sort of you know, maybe that kind of surprise factor that they seem to be just dumping teams with.
That's another weird one. Like I think coming out of Chelsea, they reckon that the Chelsea scouts are going to be watching Cechetti in the African Cup of Nations. I think he possibly will go to
just
Chelsea.
Watch Match of the Day.
Why go to the African Cup of Nations? You've watched them in the Premier League.
It's a jolly, isn't it? It's a jolly.
YouTube clips, the Dennis Wise way.
Yeah. Well, a lot of time they want to find a team that plays a system similar to what they're playing.
I guess so, yeah.
So it might be a bit more sort of beneficial. But the thing about Ben Arfa, he's an immensely talented player. I mean, he got that horrific injury really long time. But if he can play consistently in a system that fits him, I think he'd be brilliant.
Indeed he will. Now, we've got to drop down... well, no, it's not leagues, it was the FA Cup. We've got to talk about some serious stuff that's happening in the lower leagues with Darlington. Struggling financially, and they're in real trouble.
Again, they're running on fumes, aren't they, really? They've gone into administration a few
times,
haven't they?
Pretty sure that's the third time I can remember them going to administration. What we should say that if you do want to sort of lend some support to Darlington, and you know, because it's, you know, it's an important thing, clubs going out of business, other things sort of pale into insignificance when you think about, you know, a group of people who aren't going to have a club to support. So it's www.darlowtrust.co.uk if you think you can help.
The situation is that you know, it costs, like, they have to pump 80 grand into the club every single week, I believe.
Is it a month?
And it's just not sustainable at the moment. I think the people who own the stadium, to be honest, this all started when they moved out of Feetham's. They should never have done that.
But that wasn't really their fault, was it? It was that crazy businessman Raj Singh.
Yeah.
None of them wanted that stadium. It's too big. They don't need it.
It's massive. It's been it's like 25,000.
It's a mini stadium of light, basically. It looks exactly the same. And the people who own the stadium basically said, if the council allow us to add in like a shopping mall or something, or a cinema or something, we would match some money. We would put some more money into the club, but the council aren't going to do that. So either the council want a football club or they don't want a foot. You know, it's one of those things. It's just going to be, you know, another team will spring up, but it's tremendously sad for one of the oldest teams in the country.
Yeah, darlowtrust.co.uk.
Get on that. Better news from a non-league side, Ebbsfleet United. They've been given £100,000 for having the worst toilets at any English football ground.
Hang on.
Yep.
Did they go to Fratton Park?
Well, the Blue Square Premier League side won, if you know what I mean. A fans poll beating the likes of Sheffield United, Barnsley and Bradford City to the top spot. They've all played in the Premier League, those teams.
They've never seen my dirty protest at Wembley.
So, yeah, the club will receive this money to get their toilets going. Once again, the chairman...
Did they know about this beforehand? Because they surely could have just gone to town on them.
Did they set upon Ollie Riles with a lump hammer?
I think it was a poll of a lot of votes were cast and whatnot. I've no idea, but it's a strange one. The chairman said the upgrade is desperately needed and the toilets are archaic. Whereas the office manager at the club perhaps misunderstood the whole thinking behind winning this money. To beat much bigger clubs like Sheffield United and Oldham is a real achievement. It goes to show what we can do when we all work together.
If we all work together,
they've had some sort of mass. Well, you know what? I don't need to finish such a horrible sentence.
Very strange indeed.
That is magic.
Now, there's been some magic in the French Cup as well. We go to Lille, first of all. They beat Minnows Chantilly 6-0 with Joe Cole getting a hat trick.
Lille, the holders as well, don't forget.
Yeah.
He's got a really funny bicycle kick.
Did he?
It was literally a knee jerk reaction. He sort of kept him and he sort of went, ah! And it, like, he'd been just been electrocuted. And the ball sort of. The kick was on the line. I don't really know what he was doing. He sort of hanging out, and then he just did that sort of. It bounced like
really
a foot inside. It's really weird.
Do you know that over 7,000 teams into the Coupe de France?
Wow. Oh, it's a fantastic cup.
It's amazing. Brilliant. There's so many rounds.
And there's so many surprises as well. Didn't like a third or fourth division side get to the final quite recently?
And five top flight clubs were knocked out this year,
They were indeed.
Yeah. This round.
But knocked out by lower league opposition.
I suppose that is also this year.
Yeah, exactly.
He's not wrong on any of that.
I bet there were some crappy toilets around the ground. If that many teams enter that cup, and also the French, you know what they're like with their toilets. Pissing in the street.
The truth without. That's what you really meant. Yeah.
Anyway, it is true, though. I was appalled when I went there.
I'm not offering any comment.
Well, you've never been. I thought my eyes deceived me. Marseille beat Red Star 5-0. I thought, oh,
a little blast that from the past. Yeah.
Revenge.
Yeah, exactly. Best served.
Basil Bolli getting all five. Now Carlo Ancelotti had his first competitive match in charge of Paris Saint-Germain. It ended with a 2-1 win over fifth division side Lochmin San Colomban. Uruguayan defender Lugano. I love Lugano. Yeah. Wonderful player.
No nonsense.
Yeah. God, yeah. But a very handsome man.
Dashing.
Captain Marvellous. He scored an injury time winner. Ancelotti wasn't happy, as you could imagine, just scraping a win against a very much a lower division side. He said, "We must play better. When you have the opportunity to score, you must score."
Hey.
You can't argue with that.
No, it's, you'd be a fool to.
I think Ancelotti will do a good job there.
I do. But Montpellier owner...
Oh, Louis Nicolin.
Him indeed.
Yeah, Lulu.
He's been mentioned on the show before.
He's been at Montpellier about 40 years. He's a massive fat fella.
He's a nutter. He's not
Baron Greenback.
He's not let us down here.
He's a human industrial paperweight. He's gigantic. He's gigantic. He's easily the fattest man in football. I'm putting out there.
Well, he's branded Paris Saint-Germain fools for appointing Carlo Ancelotti as their new manager, and he reckons that he'll just bring in big name flops from England and Italy. He said, "I laugh at them. He will buy the ones he remembers from his days with the Wops and the Corned Beef Eaters."
Wow.
I think we're the Corned Beef strong. Eaters there in the wow. Italians the racist.
Yes.
And also he said something about Italians.
Didn't he say that PSG are subnormal?
Yeah.
The Wops and the Corned Beef.
Bitter lunatic.
Unbelievable.
Get him and Gigi together.
Yeah.
For a big eat up.
Yeah, Montpellier and Stoia in the Europa League or something would be quite nice. La Liga's back.
Yes.
La Liga's back.
I didn't worry for it. I thought Barcelona might have completed it.
Yeah, well, they had their derby against Espanyol and they drew 1-1. They're now 5 points behind Madrid.
Yeah, I mean, Madrid are going to win it, aren't they?
Do you think?
I know it's not a controversial thing to say, but like it's going to happen.
It's going to happen.
Barcelona looked tired. Did you see much of the game?
Yeah, I tell you what, Victor Valdes made an unbelievable save in the first half. Like I was watching it, and I just thought, that's in. And you know when it's like, did it cross the line and players run away celebrating? Mm. But he just clawed it out. It was an unbelievable save. It was well worth checking out that.
But I mean, we've been saying for a long time, what are Barcelona running on? They've just played so much football.
They have.
Over such a long, sustained period of time, including the sort of the Spanish internationals as well, playing sort of in the national tournaments with Spain. And they were going to just get knackered at some point, and it appears it is happening now.
But the only counter to that point is that they see so much of the ball that they may not be as tired as some of their counterparts who spend all their time chasing.
They're getting bored of the ball.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. But the only thing I can see derailing Real Madrid at this moment is this Cristiano Ronaldo bubbling under. Well, it's bubbling under, isn't it? I mean, there's definite issue there with Cristiano Ronaldo. Didn't celebrate that goal. Thought the papers been getting on his back. Mm.
Fans as well in the stadium as well.
Yeah, absolutely. That could undermine.
Yeah, Madrid beat Granada 5-1 and Ronaldo scored and didn't celebrate again.
But don't forget Barcelona still got to play Real Madrid as well.
They do?
Yeah.
But yeah, so the Ronaldo thing has come from the fact that the fans are perceiving him to be selfish. It's the same criticism he had at Man United and that he's had for Portugal and that anyone that's ever watched him play can rightly throw at him, basically, because it's bang on.
He scores a goal a game for Madrid.
Yeah.
I was going to say.
You start goal up.
I know, but they're so demanding, aren't they? We've almost forgotten that they can be like this, but now it's reared its ugly head again.
But
there's
not
talk
you.
As well that he's kind of jealous of the fact that Benzema and Higuain are getting the limelight because they're striking up a real partnership. You would think it would be one or the other, but they're working together really, really well.
Well, it'll be a test of Mourinho's leadership, won't it? We'll see what happens.
Indeed. Villarreal drew with Valencia 2-0. Los Che failed to capitalise on Barcelona.
Because, as we've said, they're slipping up. Whoever's in third is cursed.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, it's a great result for Villarreal, actually. Mm. Something to build on. Cause
they were 2-0 up, but they're in the relegation zone. I mean, that would be incredible, wouldn't it? It's a team that starts off in the Champions League at the start of the season.
Very small club, though.
Sevilla have dropped out the top six as well, haven't they?
Yeah. Right. But Levante are still fourth.
Yeah, every time we say it, I can't see that lasting.
They're holding on. They're 4 points clear of fifth.
Yeah, it's good.
They're still up there. Still up there.
Back to the Sevilla. Yes. Antonio Reyes made his debut for them.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
And he did nothing. That is the match what I watched.
I remember that.
Now, before we go to South America, I believe Luke's gone to Diego Corner.
Here I am, Diego Corner. Ooh, 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 ooh.
The first one.
You need a new song.
That was weird.
The first one of 2012.
I haven't been there for ages.
Go on then.
A bit dusty.
What's happening?
Loads of stuff.
Tell us.
El Diego's been hanging out with RVP.
Robert Van Persie was over, wasn't he?
Odd combination, isn't it?
Yeah, because I was thinking Van Persie's quite a nice bloke. It's a bit odd. But the real sort of top line headline story that Diego's been up to
right.
is he's found a new target for his ire.
Right.
In the shape of Leonardo.
Ooh. That is a strange one, isn't it? Of all the people he could pick in the literally on the planet.
So he's picking on a sexy Bambi.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, a little bit.
Or just Bambi.
So let me just, before I go on this quote, I'm just going to a couple of quick facts about Diego beforehand.
Yes.
3.5 million euros a year and exclusive use of a private jet whenever he wants.
I bet he takes that up a lot.
Why give him that?
Just goes down the shops in it.
He goes on to say, I don't understand Leonardo. I did not understand him when he moved to Inter from AC Milan. And I understand even less what he's doing today with PSG. I wonder if he's a player, a coach, an agent, or an oil dealer. This is proof that in football today, it pays off if you know how to lobby. Leonardo said... shouted, so Diego can hear him in his massive glass house. Said, I'm happy the second or third best player of all time behind Pele and Messi. Bang! Oh! He's speaking about me and PSG.
Yeah. He will be happy about that. We'll come back.
Good then. Lobbying.
Yeah.
Magnificent.
Leonardo's a class act. You'd expect that from Leonardo.
Yeah. Oh, good. Some more stupidness.
I hope we get to see Leonardo on the coverage of Euro 2012.
I do as well. With Maradona.
Yeah.
But he has to learn English and that'll never happen.
Some more stupidness, or as we call it, stupidity.
That's right. Silliness. Now, let's go to South America. Argentina. Where David Trezeguet's made a sensational return to his homeland to play for the team he supported as a boy, growing up in Buenos Aires, of course, River Plate.
Yeah.
Mm. He's joined a number of European-based players in a quest to help River's fight back into the top flight after they were relegated to Argentina's second tier. Fernando Cavanaghi, who was at Bordeaux, although he was loaned out a couple of times, he's returned to the club, who he played for at the start of his career. He's still only 28.
Yeah.
So it's a bold move going back from Europe, you know.
Yeah.
And Alejandro Dominguez is on loan to River from Valencia.
Mm. I think maybe not everybody knows the story about Trezeguet as well, because people obviously think he's French because he played for France and sort of... whatnot, but he grew up in Argentina.
He did.
And I think he could have played for Argentina as well, but he chose to play for France because I forget what reasons. But it's great that he's done that. And you know, when he went to Hercules as well, he showed that he is just out for a footballing adventure now in this stage of his career. He's won so much, he's done so much already. And I think that's absolutely brilliant. It's commendable.
Yeah. Well,
I read a great story about him which said that, you know, he went to the Middle East, he just hated it.
Which is football for me. Football is passion. I wasn't getting that in Arabian football. Which is...
I was getting sand.
He's getting sand.
In my shoes.
In Brazil, there's a football player called Chen Xingzhao from Guangdong, the first Chinese player he will be to play in Brazil's top flight. He's 23 years old and in midfield. He signed a 2-year loan deal with Corinthians. Now, earlier this year, Brazilian football agent Flavio Pires said, "We want to bring more players from China and Japan to play in Brazil." Interesting one. Maybe you're thinking, is it the pool of talent they're after? You know, obviously it's
marketing
hard to...
well,
yeah, exactly, that kind of thing. Well, some are a bit suspicious that it is mainly just marketing. This is perhaps because the Corinthian club marketing director, Luis Paulo Rosenberg, reportedly said, Corinthians are planning to bring in any old rubbish from China to promote their brand in the Asian market.
It's a bit of a gamble, though, isn't
it? Yeah, you do wonder. I mean... park aside,
I love that.
Does it work?
Any old rubbish.
You know, unless you've got some like genuine someone who's already a bit of a superstar, you know, people aren't going to start buying Corinthian shirts, are they? For some guy they don't know who happens to also be from China.
Christ. Any old rubbish.
To be fair, it has happened in the past. I mean, like Inamoto was one, and there's been a couple in Italy.
Inamoto
was
a decent player.
Oh, of course, I'm sort of backing up what Jim said.
Yeah, but you just wonder. I'd like to see sort of if it actually yields results. If they sell that many shirts, it's worth it for everyone involved.
Yeah,
well, not they get relegated, I suppose.
Yeah, that's a fair point. And just to finish, in Brazil, a certain son of a certain famous player, Romarinho.
Oh yeah,
that's the sort of name you give yourself, like Donaldinho or Cambolino.
call your son Petinho. Yeah. Little Pete.
Yeah, Romario's son. He scored for Vasco da Gama on the weekend. He's only 18, so we look forward to hearing about his progress.
I imagine Romario's going, it's my DNA, so that's going on my goal tag.
Oh dear. And now it's time for Going for Glold.
Going for Glold. It is time for Going for Glold.
Oh, we didn't get it last week.
No.
You didn't get it last week. Will you get it this week?
You beat us.
Got pelters on Twitter from loads of people. I've got after the third clue.
Yeah, rightly so as
and
well.
You didn't tell us that JJ Okocha's mentioned the African Boy remix of Paper Planes.
Well, that is the remix that I DJ with because it is 6 minutes long and I can go do a poo.
That's the reason, people. When he drops that in the club, he's also dropping something else.
Yeah. Exactly.
Horrible.
8 clues. Will he be able to get an 8 clues yet?
We don't know. Big time.
Lovely banter.
Your first clue, gentlemen. I am 39 years old.
Stop. Is it Paul Gascoigne?
No.
Gascoigne's in his 40s.
Is it? Yeah,
Paolo Maldini?
Yeah. By the way, it's different Paolo Maldini. It's always a Premier League player, isn't it?
Don't answer that. It's okay. Not always a Premier League player.
All right, fair enough.
Naughty.
My first club was Ranchers Bees. A loopy name. Think about where loopy named clubs come from, usually.
Go on.
Stop. JJ Okocha.
No. I've played 42 times for my national team. My second club was Club Bruges.
Stop. Oh, no, God, he's not 39 now. Go on, carry on.
What are you going to go for?
Loa Loa.
My nickname was The Bull.
Stop. Philippe Albert?
No.
He's older than 39.
39?
Yeah, I was going to say. Yeah. I thought it was about time we had him.
By the way, on the Philippe Albert note, Pete showed me a picture of Philippe Albert in a bar near St James's Park. It's a signed photo, he's a centre-back. The photo is him doing an overhead kick.
Proudly signed by him. My middle name is Oefin. 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 I once brought myself on in an FA Cup semi-final.
No.
Come on.
I've got nothing.
I'm stumped here, yeah.
And I should
have something. Your last clue.
Hang on, that's six.
This infuriated Joe Royal.
Stop. Daniel Amakachi.
Daniel Amakachi,
yes! Game. Well done. Well done. I guessed him last week.
Yeah.
39.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah,
yeah, true. Yeah.
Have a word with yourself, Marcus.
Yeah. So where are we now, score-wise?
I'm still winning.
No, I'm flying.
I'm climbing back up the table.
I had a big cushion up until a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, you're on 8. I think I'm on 5. And Jimbo, I think you're on 6 now.
I think I'm on 3, aren't I?
Yeah, you are.
Three.
Struggling. Right.
Is it email time?
It is an email time.
Mm. Thank you for your
email,
lady.
I'll say an email time because we've only got one.
Ramblers.
That's us.
Yeah, that is us. Following last year's profile of Lucas Radebe, a memory from my childhood sprang into my mind, as memories will. After watching the game against Man United that you described in his profile, my brother and I sent a letter to Leeds United manager at the time, Howard Wilkinson, pointing out that Lucas was good in goal and suggested that Lucas play in goal every week. He replied with a very polite and detailed letter explaining that Lucas was a world-class centre-half. It was properly signed and everything. I can just imagine him pacing around his office, dictating to his secretary with his hands behind his back, Churchill style. That is from George Salmon.
That's nice, that.
Nice, yeah, excellent.
Thank you, George. It's nice to know, isn't it?
Was it Steve Gibson, the Middlesbrough chairman, who replied to the guy who was saying, "Oh, I'm really good at Championship Manager, I think I should be in charge."
Yeah, and he said something like, "Oh, we'll give you a job, but how am I supposed to know you won't just nick off when the big club comes in for you?"
Brilliant. It's superb.
I mean, that's fair enough, but surely Wilkinson, he's got stuff on, hasn't he?
Well, obviously not.
Maybe if he'd paid more attention to his team
and
less to his admin, things would have gone better.
There was a lad at my school when I was in Edinburgh who was a big Celtic fan, and he reckoned this was after Celtic signed Henrik Larsson and Georgie Cadet around that era in the 90s, and he genuinely believed and would get really furious if you said that can't be true, that he wrote to Celtic saying, "I recommend signing Henrik Larsson, Georgie Cadet, and all this sort of stuff." Just get played in Portugal. Where are you getting your... You won't even have the internet, let alone a living stream.
Well, because it's in Scotland.
It was in the mid-90s, and not every household
Sensible
had it
World of Soccer, that's where I got my world football knowledge. They had a lot of leagues in there.
I used to play Sensible World of Soccer with a friend of mine who insisted that Zinedine Zidane was black, and they used to try... Yeah. I was like, no, he's just got black hair. He said, no, he's definitely black. He's not black.
Right then, it's profile time, and whoa, we've got a profile for you. Now, we've got the other two in the Dean Windass Hall of Fame, so this week it's the final third of Manchester United's Holy Trinity. It's Dennis Law.
Oh. Dennis Law. Dennis Poor.
Dennis Law, relegate.
he was born on the 24th of February, 1940.
27 years before the Summer of Love.
A long time.
He could have been in his prime.
The Summer of Love, yeah.
He would have, yeah. Probably contributed.
All again, he cared about was goals.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe not like George Best in that kind of department, but, yeah. But who knows? We weren't there, man. He's from Aberdeen. The youngest of seven children, six brothers and sisters. They're from a very poor family up in Aberdeen. He used to tie a bit of wool together, like a ball of wool, and sometimes practice in the kitchen playing football. Just goes to show what a sign of the times.
What he would say is that he used to practice and he knew he was getting good at it when he would go out of his way to do that but not knock anything off.
Yeah.
Off
yeah.
the kitchen surfaces.
That's right.
Yeah. Must have been a nightmare for his mum.
Yeah. A waste of wool, if anything.
Yeah, true.
The children must be clothed.
But he would do it for hours. Mm. Which just goes to show you how much he loved it. He was dedicated and honing his skills all the time. He was given his first pair of boots quite famously by his neighbours. He couldn't afford any himself. Incredible what little acts of kindness can start, Pete. Mm-hmm. Eh? Now, he was plucked from junior football in Aberdeen by Huddersfield Town, who had Andy Beattie in charge, and Bill Shankly was his assistant. Now, he was only 16 when he went down for a trial. In fact, he may have been 15, actually. He was 16 when he started playing there. He said that he wanted to be an architect, because realistically, you know, he was good at maths at school and technical drawing.
Well, and also, the other issue was that he had very, very poor eyesight.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So he squint, didn't he?
Yeah, so he grew up on the same council sort of tenement as my grandparents.
Right.
Well, my nan, anyway.
Okay.
And I asked her about him. I've asked her about him loads of times. Okay. She said that she was very surprised when he was given the football nod, because he was almost, not like, I don't know, rude about it, he was not the runt of the litter, but he's always by far the smallest.
Yeah.
He had really poor eyesight. She said he's the sort of kid who was always running around with no shoes on, with a really runny nose. He was that sort of kid,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
So it was a big surprise.
Well, so many people would say, you know, he never did they see a less likely football prospect, you know, he's weak and puny.
Yeah.
You know, but he went down to Huddersfield when he was in his teens, mid-teens. And the first time he'd been out of Aberdeen, it took 13 hours on the train from Aberdeen to Huddersfield.
Yeah, people underestimate, I mean, it's not that bad now, but people underestimate how far away Aberdeen is.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
a good few hours beyond sort of Edinburgh.
Yeah. yeah. But even back then, you know, obviously the transport links weren't what they are today. But he said that, because Aberdeen's quite a nice city, you know, it's on the coast.
It isn't, Marcus, I've been there.
Okay. Well, according to Dennis Law, it's quite a nice city.
It's nicer than Huddersfield, and I will fight you if you don't
do it. It's Middlesbrough of Scotland for me.
Oh, come on.
It is.
Oh. No disrespect for Middlesbrough.
Wrestle this back.
But anyway, he didn't like Huddersfield. That was the point. Aberdeen was home to him. He liked being by the beach and by the coast.
In fairness, Pete, you've got to realise it's on the coast. It's very sort of... One way it's quite interesting to look at Aberdeen, especially from outside onto the seafront. And Huddersfield, in whenever it was, the 50s, it's just factories and mills the whole time.
There's a lot of industry in Aberdeen. There's a lot of them. And I grew up on the coast, you know what I mean? It's not like...
Well, anyway, we're not here to compare Huddersfield
with
Aberdeen.
We
sure were here.
But the man who's at the centre of the profile...
City Smackdown on the football ramp.
Yeah. He preferred Aberdeen. Anyway, he was homesick. He was a young lad. Yeah. All that way from home. And he said he was homesick for about 5 years, to be honest with you.
No.
As you'd imagine. He was the youngest ever player for Huddersfield. He went into the first team at a very young age. And they had a few young players at the time. Two 16-year-olds on the right side of attack, obviously including Law, which was quite good. He had a pretty good time there. You know, he was starting to turn heads. You know, people were getting to know his name. At the age of 18, he was given his first Scotland cap against Wales in a 3-0 win, which he scored in. And he actually said, looking back on it, it was the proudest moment of his career to play for his country.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he said it was such an honour. He scored 19 goals in 91 appearances for Huddersfield, and he was a very sought-after player then. And Bill Shankly left Huddersfield Town and went to Liverpool and tried to take Dennis Law with him. But I don't think Liverpool had the funds. Law said that he fancied going to Arsenal because they were the big side at the time, or certainly one of the big sides under George Swindon at the time. But
He said they sent up the assistant manager to talk to him, and he was put off by that. He said, well, if they're not going to send the manager himself, then you're obviously not that bothered. You know.
He's used to brilliant assistant managers, though, as well.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, he just didn't compare.
The Shankly didn't want him to leave, did he? When he did actually leave, Shankly said that, you know, if you tell him you're making a big mistake.
Yeah.
Because he said it was something like, oh, one day it'll be a £100,000 player or something like that.
Yeah, and, which of course he was. Yeah. But he did sell, Dennis Law to Manchester City for £55,000, which was a British transfer fee at the time, so they
record.
Didn't. Yeah, sorry, that's what I meant. so they did get a fair old whack for him, and it was enough to finance floodlights for Huddersfield's stadium.
Putting a bit back,
exactly, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Now, when he was playing for City, he did score 6 goals in an FA Cup tie once against Luton Town. Although the match was abandoned after 70 minutes, so it didn't go.
Floodlight failure.
Yeah,
irony. Yeah.
And Luton won the replay as well.
Oh God, that's sick.
He's an absolute sickener. He had a good time at City. He scored quite a few goals there, nearly 1 in 2, I think it was, in the league. But at the time, there was a very strict wage cap in England for players across the country. This wasn't the case in Italy, where you could make about 5 times the amount you could in the UK. So he went to play for Torino. Now, bearing in mind, John Charles had kind of paved the way as well, the big Welshman. And he said, it's quite funny, when asked about this, he said he enjoyed his time in Italy. He loved everything about it apart from the football.
Yeah.
He actually said the football was awful. It was all defending and whatnot. And for a guy with a real attacking flair, he just wasn't interested. So he only had one season for Torino. And then Matt Busby and Manchester United came in paying a British record transfer fee, £115,000 for him, bringing him back to Manchester, and that's really where the legend of Dennis Law began. He was nicknamed the Stretford King and was a real favourite with the Old Trafford faithful. And it's still really to this day, you know, you've got the statue outside of him, Best and Charlton. I mean, that's something.
That's ridiculous.
Isn't
those
it?
Those three at once.
I don't
know if we have a comparable sort of equivalent of that.
I mean, people might talk about Xavi and Iniesta and Messi, I don't know.
Yeah,
it's a similar sort of thing, though, isn't it? It's that kind of level.
He really chucked himself into challenges, into like overhead kicks and stuff.
He loved an overhead kick.
You didn't really see that much of it. Well, proper volleys and stuff. And
I've seen clips of him scoring a couple of bicycle kicks. Maybe not the most sort of cleanly hit or whatnot, but back then it was a real rarity for a British player.
He suffers from basically not being Best or Charlton. He doesn't get the sort of level of respect that the other two get. I mean, rightly or wrongly. I mean, if it's impossible.
You could argue he was a better player than Charlton.
Well, he didn't score as many goals as Charlton.
True.
You know, but I wouldn't agree with that. But one thing I would say is every time you see clips of Dennis Law, obviously you can't watch him play now, but you think, oh, Best.
He'd be rubbish.
Best was good. Best was really good. You know, the amount of chances he must have got from Best is incredible.
Really. His finishing was absolutely clinical, though.
Every
like
top of goal.
Point.
Both feet. Yeah. Weighed in with headers despite being a small man.
Yeah, he was a great header of the ball.
Great core strength, very strong for his size.
Can take players on.
Yeah,
I mean,
the accuracy was incredible with his shooting as well. You wonder, sort of, you know, the fact he started off with a squint, and, you know, he had it all correct and stuff. And if he had to sort of hone his ability that much because he was at a disadvantage, and then he sort of almost got a boost from it. I don't know.
He did score all manner of goals, didn't he? Mm. And his qualities were unbelievable. Goal scoring, creating them, dribbling, heading, like you say, you know,
all the things you need to play football
very highest level. Yeah. One could argue. There's a great clip on YouTube where there's a free kick routine where he scores with Bobby Charlton. But again,
he almost mucks it up. Though.
He did almost muck it up. Yeah. But you look at how muddy was the pitch.
Yeah.
And the way he turns, like, if this is the one I'm talking about, where he sort of feeds it through and he does that wonderful sort of curve.
But like back then, you know, with the weight of the ball, the pitches weren't great condition, you think, man, they were decent. You know what I mean?
Best and especially best balance and sort of strength and ability to dribble on those pitches was really unrivaled.
Oh yeah. But Law linked superbly with Best and Charlton his days at Manchester United. It really was absolutely incredible. In the 1963-64 season, he scored 46 goals for Manchester United, Dennis Law. And that was one of the main reasons that he was voted European Player of the Year. The only Scottish player ever to have won it. He won the league with Manchester United in 65 and 67. Unfortunately, he was injured and missed the 68 European Cup final with Benfica.
Yeah, he'd been injured for a while. He missed a semi-final as well.
He did play, of course, in the famous 3-2 win at Wembley for the Scots. Against the English. Did he sit on the ball? Am I right in saying there's a little story that apparently, you know, see, even like Scotland were having a bit of fun, really, and they were taunting the opposition, and like Dennis Law was just dribbling away and he just sat down on the ball. I don't know whether I've heard that.
Might be apocryphal, I'm not sure. He's the second highest top scorer for United, isn't he? I think he's their top FA Cup goal scorer as well.
40 goals, I think he was in the
40 goals
in the FA Cup.
That's insane.
Which was passed by Ian Rush in the 90s.
Wow.
Yeah, but incredible scoring record, really, for a guy who wasn't an out-and-out centre-forward, perhaps. Mm. 171 league goals in 309 games.
And back then, I guess you were sort of fighting against your own lifestyle to a certain extent. Yeah, well. Imagine how good you were if you didn't give up the fags, give up the crap food.
Don't forget, also, if you get an injury then, you're finished.
Yeah.
Well, George Best said, he was a great pal on and off the field, and you think, oh, okay, into that.
You have sex with him as well, did you?
Oh,
George.
Bailed me out of all kinds of situations.
Yeah. Well, yeah, interesting to say the injuries, you know, into the 70s, he was starting to pick up a few injuries, and then he was getting older, of course, and perhaps not quite the player, although he still had, you know, bags of quality. But the management at United thought that maybe he's had his time here, so... he was sold to City in 1973.
Well, that's such an incredible run of success.
Yeah.
It's a sustained amount of success, and there's always going to be... I mean, United will go through it again, and when Ferguson retires, they're going to have a bit of a change of the guard. And a lot of time the older players will suffer from that. I mean, Chelsea, they might be going through it now. It does happen, you know.
Mm. Also, so he had a knee injury, didn't he? Which really, really badly affected him.
He did, yeah.
He missed a lot of games through that.
Mm. His standout moment for Manchester City, without a doubt, was his last touch of a football in the Football League when he flicked the ball past the United keeper at Old Trafford, condemning them to a 1-0 defeat. Was it 1-0?
The point was that even if they'd drawn, they would have gone down anyway, but Manchester he didn't United. Know that at the time. And that face, you'll never see that again in football. He does the back heel. It comes from him, he does the back heel.
Beautiful goal.
Beautiful goal, but it was such an instinctive finish. And then he looks up and he realises what he's done. He loved those players. He played with those players for such a long time.
At Old Trafford. But in a Manchester derby.
In actual fact, United could have won 5-0, still would have been relegated because of the results. But yeah, you didn't know that at the time.
It is great that that was the case as well.
Yeah.
He must have felt so relieved.
Yeah, but everyone still says he relegated him anyway.
I know, it's annoying. It's one of those myths, isn't it?
He felt guilty for years after. Even though, as you say, mathematically, it wasn't the case.
Well, he went further than that. He said he didn't want to play. He said he didn't want to play in the game.
Well, that was his last touch of the ball in club football.
Yeah, he was immediately subbed off, wasn't he?
I think he chose to come off, didn't he? He just sort of walked off.
For the applause.
It's true that his face, he's just like a broken man.
Yeah.
Like people are like sort of slapping his face, sort of going, come on.
Yeah.
Let's have a smile.
But
out,
as you say, it showed what a professional he was, because the ball came over. He's just done it.
Didn't think twice about it.
Yes, to a job.
And also, what a good guy he was as well. He was
still is probably.
There's one commentator for that game. He just shouts, "Dennis Law, what an irony! What an irony!" He's going. which it was. His last game of football was in the 1974 World Cup with Scotland, which was the first time they'd qualified, the Scots, since 1958. And they went out in the first round, I think, without losing a game, just on goal difference to Brazil. And it was against Zaire. He didn't play two of the group games. But he had 55 caps and 30 goals.
Yeah,
you know, international
top scorer with Kenny Dalglish.
He is, two halls in there as well. A couple of halls.
An international hall, that is pretty rare.
Indeed, he came back from the World Cup and he actually hadn't chosen to retire after the World Cup per se. He came back and he realised he wouldn't be first choice for Manchester City. And I think, you know, maybe the Manchester United, the relegation and the goal and whatnot. Mm. That was him. He was done, and he retired from the game. I mean, since then he's been a pundit, inducted into the English Football Hall of Fame, an inaugural member. Yeah. 2010, he became a patron of Football Aid, taking over from the late Sir Bobby Robson.
I liked it when he said when he was asked why did he ever consider going into management, and he said never. Dealing with footballers, no thanks.
Yeah, I like that.
Brilliant.
Nice.
Dennis Bergkamp was named after him. Yeah,
Hey, that's right. Absolutely true.
Oh,
yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Quite a nice.
But they couldn't. I don't think they could allow. He wasn't allowed to have one N in his name.
Yeah,
because in Holland, in Dutch, there might be a female name, so he had to have two N's. But he was named after Dennis.
Yeah, a bit close to Denise, I think it was. But we'll end with
Denise Bergkamp would still have been a wonderful player.
He would. We'll end with a quote from his friend Jimmy Greaves. Jimmy simply said, "He was my favourite player of all time. He had everything. The end." There it is. Dennis Law into the Dean Windass Hall of Fame.
Finn.
talking about your family connection to Dennis Law.
Oh yeah,
Luke. My nan's sister, Auntie Lil, we called her, looked just like Dennis Law. I mean, it was harrowing, but it was hilarious. So,
strictly a connection, is it?
Kind of is. She looked just like him.
Can we have a picture?
Well, I'll just give you a picture of Dennis Law and say that is my auntie. You won't know the difference.
She did relegate Manchester United. there we are. That's the end of the football ramble, ladies and gentlemen, for this week. I hope you've had a lovely time. If you want to get in touch with us, the email address is show@thefootballramble.com and the website is thefootballramble.com, isn't it, Jimbo?
It is, and on the website this week and forevermore, because that's how the internet works, there's Sasa Ibrul on match fixing in Croatia, and Mikhail Zakodny takes us through important games coming up for the Polish fans this season. If you want to get a flavour of how the game is in the country that's co-hosting Euro 2012, it's well worth checking out Mikhail's work, as he can tell you all about it. It's very sort of detailed stuff, so get over there on the website. And elsewhere, there's live fantasy football with Pick Live, the Hall of Fame, the shop, and the forum. I'll get over there. Oh, it's a lovely little website.
Indeed, it is.
And let's not forget, here comes the summer. We got t-shirts on the website. They're very, very good. They're very, very stylish. And I think for the first time, I saw at the Christmas drinks for the Ramble, I saw actually some t-shirts in real life. They're brilliant. Right. I had no idea.
Footballramble.com. They make people sexier.
They certainly do.
Big time. Jimbo.
Another thing that makes people sexier is coming to see me live. you can do that if you want to see me preview my Edinburgh show. I will be doing this in the Wilmington Arms, which is a pub in Clerkenwell, on the 19th of January, which is the Thursday night. So the Wilmington Arms, Clerkenwell, London. 19th of January, 7:30. Yes, London. Come down. Say I am Zlatan on the door and you'll get in for free.
How about that?
There we go.
How about that? Right, say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Pete.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Luke.
Shove it up your hole.
I shall do. Goodbye.
Pulled across for Law! Dennis has done it! And no elation there at all from Dennis Law. We've got an invasion of the pitch that we could well do without. The end of Manchester United's 36 years. Unbroken run in the first
division. Me and Jim are proper heart to heart about this, and I think that they've kicked racism so far out that it's come back round. A ball boy's got it and he's thrown racism back in.
Yeah. Now,
serial killer.
Oh, that was a shame.
That was a shame.
You've got to apologise for that.
Re-apologise, you say. You've got to re-apologise. That bit where he goes, and it's time to leave the capsule if you dare. He's already in space. Why are they calling him a posse now? Why is ground control going, you've all fucking went through all the training, you've all blasted, risked your life by getting into fucking space, and they're having a go about opening a door. Well, if you dare, you think you're hard, why don't you go outside, dick?
They wouldn't say that, they'd say, Major Tom, please commence leaving the spacecraft.
Yeah.
Over.
And the
papers want to know whose shirt you wear.
Mm-hmm. Shirts, plural.
I felt really empowered, actually.
They didn't trust me.
Este es el control de tierra con. Conteste si está bien. Si se atreve a consumar esta visión, abra la escotilla y salga al exterior. Atención, control, aquí abre a Tom. Voy a intentar salir. Comuníquenos cómo está de palpitación.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.